Good morning. Great to be back with you. I enjoyed preaching to a young church in South Salem, but it's great to be back home. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 32. The title of my message is How to Get the Best Out of the Rest. And that means that I have the remainder of my life to live. How can I make the remainder the most effective part of my life? Beginning there, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In other words, blessed is the honest man. How many of you would say amen to that? And one of our greatest problems is that we really don't face sometimes who we really are. We cover it up. We come to church and people ask us, how are you doing? Oh, you know, I'm doing great. When you know in reality, you're absolutely doing miserable. But you must smile because people expect it. They expect you to smile. And things are going, oh yes, they're going great. You don't even let them finish the sentence. You don't want them probing too close. You know, it's like a callus on your finger. I remember as a young boy, Dad was head elder of the church, and I had helped him with the chainsaw, and I had a callus on my finger. And I kept picking at the thing and picking at the thing. Finally, the tough outer layer of the callus gave way, and I hit the nerve ending. And you know what we do in our lives? We callus. Come on, you know it's true. And every once in a while, we pick beneath the callus and hit the nerve. Oh, you're getting too close now. You hit the nerve. And here I am in church saying, ow! My father, needless to say, was a little embarrassed with that. Penetrating beneath the surface of our lives, beneath what we wear and how well we wear it to who we really are. The Bible says in the end of time, the devil is wroth with the church and he goes to make war in Revelation 12:17. The point is, all, said Paul, who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. Let's be honest with each other. Things are not as great as we want you to believe. I was in the store the other day and I said, how's it going? Never thinking she was going to say, hold it and I'll tell you. Do you really want to know? Well, I asked the question. Yeah, well, do you really want to know? That's the answer. Do you really want to know how bad things are? Well, how long is this going to drag out? You know, people are lined up behind me. That's a good excuse, right? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. You know, as a preacher, and by the way, I didn't preach this at Winston. The Holy Spirit said, don't preach it. I was ready to go. I was getting ready to stand up, and the Holy Spirit said, just take your Bible and talk to these people. So I did. But I'm going to preach it to you because the Holy Spirit wants me to. I, as other preachers, like to gather things, you know. My wife said, I have a Bible in every room and a book in every corner. And she will tell me, please put these books, don't you, where they need to be. Not in the kitchen on the shelf, not in the bathrooms. You have books everywhere. I was giving a book last week and I read it in a couple of hours, about 130 pages. I speed read, so I try to read a paragraph at a time. There's a way of doing it, speed reading. So I read a lot of books, and I'll put them aside, read another one, put it aside. Well, I won't put them up because I may refer to them. And so constantly I'm gathering material. Well, I gathered this from the Arizona Republic years ago, and I found it. There was an article that piqued my interest. It was called The Payoff for Atrocity. In the article, now listen to this, Holocaust survivors were interviewed. You know who those are. There are 211 Holocaust survivors in Arizona who are going to receive money from the German government for claims against Germany. Among these were those who were used as slave laborers in the Nazi concentration camps. And among those is one woman named Ella Adler, a survivor. And she was quoted as saying, "There's no money in the world that would compensate for the pain that I have suffered." She said, "Let me prove it." She bears on her left arm the tattoo with the number A27331. After the Holocaust, she immigrated to New York, where her friends told her she could get rid of the tattoo. Her response was, "I want you to catch this. This is good." Listen to her response. "You know, it's part of my soul. I was 16 and was tattooed there. It will never, ever go away." For 60 years, she has carried the scars of an experience in her person. Experiences are life-changing, both positive and negative. You think they don't affect you, but they do. Your experiences in life affect you for the rest of your life. You know the saying, forgive and what? Come on now. You don't ever forget. That's why God gave you the gift of memory. You forget nothing. By the way, women forget everything, don't they? Oh, yes. No, they don't. You try blowing it sometime and see how much they forget. We call it emotional postage stamps. You remember when, remember when, remember when? No, they don't forget. Experiences are life-changing. I can think of one positive experience of myself going to Germany in a boat that had sunk twice in Brooklyn Harbor. That was an interesting experience with 40-foot waves coming over the deck, and my cousin and I are the only Seventh-day Adventists on board, and we are sitting on the front of the deck between these big old guns, and the waves are rushing over the bow of this huge ship as she went through the English Channel, diving 40 feet down and up, and down and up. And my stomach went down, and everything else came up. I'll never forget that. I spent 3 years of my life in Germany, and I wouldn't trade it, because it was there I sensed my need of God more than anything else. I'm going to give you three things here, and I'm going to go through them. Uncover your weakness, learn to recover from your experiences, and discover your resources. Uncover your weakness, learn to recover from your experiences, and discover your resources. Oh, good. Good message. If I want to get the best out of the rest, I'm going to have to do some things in my life. And I think one of the most important things that I am going to have to do is be honest with myself. Do you know that there are people who die every day who have never been honest? Well, yesterday, here's a good experience. I went to visit a lady in the hospital. She had serious surgery. She said, "My husband doesn't love me, and I don't love him." How long has that been? It's a series of bad experiences. And you know what happens in our life, my brothers and sisters? We are not hurt by occasional misdeeds done in our direction. It is the steady, steady mistreatment that leaves an impression. Are you with me? The father who said, "You'll never make it. You're not good. You ought to be like your brother." That stays with you for the rest of your life. Yeah, sometimes you forgive it, but then something happens, and it all what? Comes back. I'm ironing. I love to iron, don't I, honey? I iron all our clothes. Oh, I'm good at this. I started when I was 13 years old. My mom would say, "You can go to school, your clothes are on the floor." Mama threw all the clean clothes on the floor. She was an angel, but she wasn't much of a housekeeper. So I learned how to iron. And my father would say, "Why in the world are you ironing?" Evidently, his mom didn't iron. So I would iron, and I had to look good to go to school. Why? We had nothing anyways, and people would make fun of me. And that hurt me deeply. "Oh, you people are poor." And it, bang, you don't have anything. Bang. You'll never go anywhere. Bang. Are you with me? After a while, you actually believe the bad PR about yourself. I'm not going anywhere. I don't mean anything. God doesn't care for me. Well, fast forward to 2004. I'm ironing clothes in the kitchen. My mom's home and my dad's sitting at the table with a Bible and his hair falling down. And I remember he looked at me, "You still iron?" It all came, what? Oh, the problem is I'm not 17. I'm not 13 anymore. Oh, no, you don't want to talk to me like that. So I said, "Dad, you're a nasty old man." And mean-spirited old men are not going to heaven. You need a conversion. And I said, "I'm not 13 anymore. Do not treat me like 13. You can live with the same shirt for 5 days with ketchup from last week on it. Not me." Dad looked at me and his face kind of shook. And he said, "You're right." Dad was a good man. He was a good man. I loved Dad. It wasn't Dad. It's what Dad said to me years ago that came back. Are you with me? So, if you're going to change, some of you put on a great facade. And I say this in love. We bury ourselves in our labor. We do all kinds of things. We bury ourselves in friends. We bury ourselves in family. But in reality, when you get beneath the callus, you hit a nerve, and we have never been honest with who we really are. Who are you? Who are you this morning? And how are you dealing with who you are? Well, if you don't know who you are, you can't deal with it. So number one, here it is, uncover your weaknesses. Write it down on your notes somewhere. In other words, test the truth about yourself. Live above your weaknesses. Uncover them. You can try and hide the fact that you're weak in certain areas. But listen, you're only blurring and masking the real problems. It's time to bury your pride before it buries you. Oh, that's interesting. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, just for a moment. Oh, you see, I've said, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's with me. Man, we're on a roll this morning. Say amen. Oh, yes. I know where I'm going. Maybe you don't know where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12. This is good. Listen to this. Hebrews 12, and I believe my verse there, where I want you to begin with me, is verse 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Paul is writing, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees." Your knees are weak, strengthen them. "And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one can see God. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God." And here Paul makes it personal. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many become defiled." In other words, if what you're doing and your dishonesty and your lack of being honest with yourself is affecting someone else, you are held accountable for what you're doing to them. Now listen to this. "Lest there be any fornicator, profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." Now, verse 17. "For you know that afterward he was rejected." That sounded like Maine. That was my Maine accent. Afterward. Every once in a while, my New England accent comes through. "He wanted to inherit the blessings. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Here's the point. Esau took the immediate way out. I need help now. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm going to fake it today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And the hardest thing to do in the world is to be honest with ourselves. Isn't that true? Would you agree with that? Okay, here's the point. If your hands are weak, strengthen them. Find the weak areas of your life and make them strong. If you uncover your weaknesses, find the weak areas. Secondly, make straight paths for your feet. Listen, if you're weak in some particular area in your life, don't put yourself in a place where you're weak. Watch where you're going. If you are prone to drink, don't hang around where they drink. If women are a problem with you, men, do not put your arms around the ladies in the church. And women, if there's a twinkling in your eye somewhere for somebody else, that's a weakness in your life that you better pray about. But don't put yourself where your weakness is glaringly seen. Uncover it, Admit it, honestly. I have a problem, and I'm not going to put myself where my problem becomes a stumbling block to someone else. Would you agree with that statement? And listen, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? Listen, our problem is we don't really see ourselves. We really don't. And then Paul says, don't allow the bitterness to take root. Why? Because when you do it, you affect other areas in your life. Oh my, I hated high school. Why? Because they made fun of me. We had nothing, and I hated it. I hated it so bad I would fake it. I'm sick. I don't want to go to school. And my father would come in, Rocky, it's 6 o'clock time to get up. Oh, my back is killing me. Or I've got a headache. I have this. And you know, the real honesty was I hated it. Finally, my mother came in one morning toward the end of my, you know, I think I was a junior, and she said, sophomore or junior, you got to go to school, Rocky. I said, I'm not going anymore. I'm 16 and I'm not going anymore. So I quit. Yeah, here I am with a master's degree and I quit high school. She said, well, you have to talk to Dr. Holmes. He's at the school. He wants to talk to you. He's a guidance counselor. So I went over there and he sat there and he said, Mr. Gale, why are you quitting? I said, because I don't like it. He said, boy, you're honest. There was a condition. If I quit school, my mother said, you have to take art. So I took art. I majored in art. So to this day, because I loved art, I drew in elementary school all day long in class. Because I love art, I began to draw and draw and draw, and I developed that talent. So even today, I'll sit at the house, and some afternoon I'll go in and I'll draw pictures, or play guitar and sing to the Lord. That's my gifts. I do that. Well, to fast forward, you know, I got a GED. And then went on to get my master's degree. But one day, I saw one of the people picking on me. I was holding meetings in Brattleboro, Vermont, and he was pumping gas. He actually was the president of a junior class, sophomore class, senior class. And he came over and he looked at me and he said, as I was sitting in my car, are you Rocky Gale? I said, how'd you know? He said, I remember you. You quit, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. He said, what are you doing for work now? Well, I'm a preacher. You're what? I'm a preacher. Well, you quit school. Yes. I said, what are you doing? He said, pumping gas. And you graduate as a class president. Oh, yes, yes. And you have what? I have a master's degree now. You have what? I have a master's degree now. And I looked at him and I said, I never liked you. You picked at me from the time I started high school. He said, yes, I did. And he said, oh, this is classic. Where did it get me? Where did it get me? I'm pumping gas. You know what that says to you? You better not worry about other people. Be concerned with your own honesty and let God take care of your life. Amen? You uncover your weaknesses. Bury your pride. Be honest with yourself and with others. Because they think they know you when they may not know you. Secondly, learn to recover from your experiences. We know that not every experience in life is negative. There are good experiences. Raise your hand if you've had some. Sure you have. You know, but all too often we're paralyzed by our experiences, by the past. Paralyzed, immobilized. When the Bible says that all things work together for the good to those who love God, it is saying that even in bad experiences, God can turn things around. Hebrews chapter 12 again, verses 1 through 4. It's a beautiful chapter. I preached once when I first came here on Hebrews 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which so easily ensnares us. Everyone has it. Some a different one. Let us run with endurance the race set out before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ that he is seated at the right hand of God, the Almighty One. And one day soon, we will join him in realms of glory. Amen. This world will be a passing fancy. Do you remember when? No, I forgot that long ago. Those experiences are gone. All tears are wiped away. Listen to the rest of this. For consider him, Paul says, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You think you've had bad experiences? Look at Jesus. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted. Jesus resisted the spirit to retaliate. My wife is reading to me the story about the giants from Max Lucado. And she read about David in the cave as Saul came in. You know the Bible is very graphic. He came in to relieve himself. You read that in the Bible. It's not Rocky. He went in the cave, and what happened? David was in the cave, and he cut a piece of his garment. He said, I won't touch the Lord's anointed, but he let him know he could have. You know, when I look at the Bible, especially his giants, Saul was a giant to David. You've got giants in your life, and some of those giants you've never recovered from. Are you with me? You have not recovered from them. You have not learned from them. When you learn from your experiences, you've gained wisdom. Would you say amen? Wisdom is gained through experiences. You know, I said to my son one day, I said, Aaron, we've got two choices. Number one, you can go this on your own. Or secondly, you can learn from my experiences. What do you think? Well, Dad. And he learned from my experiences. Well, not every one of those. You know, he's still trying to gain his own. The other day he did something and he just told me, I learned from it, Dad. I said, well, we're going to learn through our experiences. We recover from them, see? Johnny Cash, listen to this, once did an album called American Recordings, and on the cover was a picture of two dogs. One black, one white. Some of you may have seen it. This is interesting. A white dog and a black dog. In an interview with Rolling Stones magazine, he was asked to explain. He said, these names are sin and redemption. Sin is the black, white is the redemption. Sometimes we're plagued with the black and sometimes we have the white. And he said they battle back and forth in our lives. The black dog and the white dog. And sometimes the white dog wins. And I pray the more time I spend with Jesus, the more white wins over black. The more I learn to recover and go on. Proverbs 16:22 says, understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. Listen to verses 7 through 11, Hebrews 12. I love this chapter. I could preach on it for a week. Listen to this constantly. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as his son. So what son is there to whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Well, they indeed in a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, now that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now listen to this, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What it says to me is that some of the experiences in my past were very painful. God allowed them to happen to me to shape me toward him. All things shape me. Are you with me? Raise your hand. I remember when I was pastoring in Phoenix. My wife and I had visited Lake Havasu. And the point behind what I'm telling you right now is don't ever tell God I will not do it. We were living in Phoenix. I was pastoring Arizona Family Center, a church plant that I planted in 97. I wanted to get away. I had done it long enough. My wife and I were looking at doing something else. I wanted another guy to come in and pick up where I had planted. And it was really interesting because we had the opportunity to go to Lake Havasu to visit the London Bridge. Anyone here ever been to Lake Havasu? Okay, well, we walked through the London Bridge and all that thing and walked over it, and we stayed at the Ramada Inn. And a Sunday morning, my son, my wife, and I walked out. It was 118 degrees. I'm not joking. 118 degrees. I walked out and I said to Christine, you couldn't get me to pastor here if you paid me double. I will never pastor here in Lake Havasu. You remember that? I went back home. The conference president said, Rocky, They'd like to have you come to Lake Havasu. Jesus, you know that's the truth. You got to go to Lake Havasu. And I said, it wasn't hot enough in Phoenix, Lord. Now you want to send me all the way to Lake Havasu. And I went over there and pastored 3 years with those dear folk. The average age was 60. We had 28. When I left, we had 100. And you know what I told them? If you're a retired church, be the best retired church you can be. Don't try to be something you're not. Be honest with yourself. The church took off like a jet. And now Merle Tull is there and it's just taking off. What am I saying? You're going to have to recover from some of these experiences you've had, even with people. You have to learn to recover. You're going to have to learn that. Remember, number one, you're not home yet. Number two, find a positive in the experience. Number three, own the experiences to disown them. Learn to give them up. If the experience has to do with someone who is still alive, tell them, I have felt this way. I ask your forgiveness. If your father or your mother abused you or you were abused by somebody else, sit down and write them a letter and burn it and give it to God. Why? Because you can't handle it anymore. You must surrender it. And what resources do you have? Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Listen to this. It's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 34. And I want you to look very quickly with me. In Psalm 34, beginning near verse 8. One of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible. It's so beautiful. Psalm 34. Listen to this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack what? Any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires it and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Oh, what a God! Taste and see that God is good. Number three, in closing, listen to this. Discover your resources. What did we just read? Taste. See that the Lord is good. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20. Don't you love to read the Bible? How many of you love to read the Bible? Raise your hand. Oh, I love the Bible. You know, I like Bible preaching. I love Bible preaching. Have it explained to me. I love, and this is my favorite chapter in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 20. It's my favorite. Look, I'm going to pick out a few verses. Verses 3 through 7. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. In other words, discover your resources. Ask God for help. Here's another verse I want you to see. Well, let's continue reading just a couple more. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, just like me, and Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? In other words, are you not more powerful than my problems, my experiences? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one can withstand you? And then 20 through 12. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 20, 20 through 12. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord, your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I have never in my life seen that. Go to battle by praising the Lord first. Praise precedes victory. Oh my. Well, how are you going to do this? You're going to have to trust God completely. We're going to go through a time in our life when we have no earthly support. How many of you know that's true? And that means I cannot trust Christine. She can't trust me. She loves me and I love her. But for eternal life, I can only trust Jesus Christ. That's all I have. What if your health breaks down tomorrow and you can't even walk? What are you going to do then? What if you are flat as this lady was yesterday on your back and you're going to lose a leg and you have this problem and that problem? What are you going to do? You are going to trust God with your life. You are going to be a survivor. Would you say amen? Well, it wasn't a beautiful tree. In fact, it was about 80 years old. It was an old elm tree. Not was, still is. Nobody thought it would live. They thought it would die. You see, Timothy McVeigh parked the vehicle in which he would blow up the Alfred T. Murrah building right by this old elm tree. 168 dead, 860 plus wounded. And they looked at the tree and they said, well, it's going to die. It'll never live. Has anyone ever looked at you and said, after the battle scars that you have been through, there's no way you're going to make it? But they noticed something. Sprouts out of this ash-covered tree, covered with debris, began to sprout. They were going to cut it down for a memorial. Oh, no. Somebody had the great idea to put a sign in the front. The survivor. And this tree, 80 plus years old, is a survivor. Somehow recovered from all his experiences, didn't it? What a testimony. If God can do it to a tree, what can he do for you and me? Hey, that rhymes. Our God is a wonderful, wonderful God. What does the Bible say? That my soul knows right well. I don't care what you're passing through. You can be a survivor. How many of you want to be survivors? Sure, we do. We want to make it to the end of this and be a survivor. Or are we going to have scars? Some of you are scarred now. But some of you, look at Sam wearing a waist belt. He survived. There are people who survive in life, and I want to be around survivors so that I can make it myself. Why? Because I gain strength from them. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? I want to read you something just before we do. I think I read it to you when I first came. There's a tombstone at San Antonio, Texas, and Lock Hill Cemetery that reads, "Sleeps but rests not, loved but was never loved. Tried to please but pleased no one. Died as she lived, alone. Grace Llewellyn Smith. No birth date, no date of death. Just the names of two husbands are listed." You can survive with Jesus or die lonely. That's your choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to uncover our weakness, recover from our experiences, and discover our resources. That you are unlimited. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, what a wonderful God thou art. Bless us. Be with us throughout the fellowship dinner. And God, we want to thank you for your persistent and consistent love. You will see us through. We will be survivors. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, did you enjoy coming today? Amen. God is a wonderful God. You know, we meet God every Sabbath here, do we not? Oh, yeah. We really do. God bless you.